Well, we hope you're getting around just fine on this Aloha Friday. Good day to you. Glad you could join us. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Welcome to The Conversation. And hello there, Chris Vandercook.
Hi, Beth Ann. You know, the new federal policy on immigration has special resonance for Hawaii. It seems kind of appropriate that the state was the first to act.
Exactly, and why we're going to talk about it this morning. Next week, you know, President Trump's latest executive order on immigration and travel is set to go into effect. But hours before it does, a federal judge will hear Hawaii's challenge to block it. Our state is the first to sue over the new immigration and travel ban. Hawaii's Attorney General Douglas Chin says there are two key sections that are unconstitutional and not consistent with federal law. He's in our studio this morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. When word came that there would be a second executive order, there were folks who were sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop to see whether this, in fact, would be challenged as well. When did you know that you were going to challenge this, or did you prepare in advance?
You know, I could actually back up 1 week before, where I was actually in D.C. It was last week, the national attorneys general all got to meet President Trump. And so I was able to ask him about the upcoming travel ban and what he expected to accomplish from it. And so his response was that he wanted to make America safe again. It involved extreme vetting. A lot of us probably wouldn't like it, but this is what he felt like he had to do. Not much detail, but that's what he talked about.
Somewhat of the usual rhetoric, but in terms of how you were able to question him, you got nothing more from him other than that?
No, and to be fair, it wasn't that kind of environment. It was a Q&A. I was lucky to get one question in, but it was an important one. Later on, when the executive order came out earlier, it was this week. I think what concerned us was that it's the same ban on from entry from Muslim-majority countries. It's the same shutdown of refugee admissions. It's more neutral language. But I think the problem for us, and I think why it hits home for Hawaii, is that Hawaii is a place where discrimination against people based on national origin or religion is just a dark path that we don't want to go down.
You've said, and you've been quoted as saying, that this is simply the same thing dressed up differently. But in so doing, to talk about some of the details of why this is so onerous to people, not just in Hawaii, but in general, looking at sections 2 and 6.
Sure. You know, I think what makes it so problematic and different from other executive orders, and I realize this is just our argument. Others, the U.S. might try to say something different, but what's happening is this is the first time a president in the last 50 years has violated the Immigration and Nationality Act. In other words, what it says right now is that if you are from one of these six, used to be seven, but if you're from these six countries, you're presumptively a terrorist. And that is a nationality-based classification that was eliminated by Congress back in 1965, 1 year before I was born, actually. That kind of classification based on countries was taken away. And now for the first time after all the different presidents that we've had, R&D, we now have this kind of classification, and that's not going to be acceptable.
You mentioned a little earlier that particularly in Hawaii, this is something that most people find repulsive, the
right
idea that we would judge someone based on ethnicity.
Right. Well, the timing couldn't be any worse. I mean, 75 years ago, it was President Roosevelt, and for national security reasons, he put out an executive order that required Japanese-American, Italian-Americans, German-Americans, even citizens of that ethnicities to be placed in internment camps. And it's really chilling, actually, to read back that when you look at the executive order, a lot of the reasoning behind it was grounded in fear. It was based upon the idea that you can't trust everybody from that country, and so therefore you need to do something about all of them. And I think we all want safety and security in the country, for sure. But there's just got to be a way to do it that's not unconstitutional
or draconian.
Right.
Unlike 75 years ago, though, we have many more people who are involved in business, in education, in tourism. who are much more mobile than they ever were then, and who are here engaged in various endeavors and need to be able to move about freely. That right. seemed to be also one of the legs that you were standing on in saying that this bill, that this executive order right. really was unconstitutional.
If you don't mind, I'd just love to share, I think one of the blessings that's come out of this lawsuit is it's actually given me the opportunity to meet the Muslim community that's here in Hawaii. And they are great people. You know, they have kids that go to our schools. They work great jobs. They contribute to the university environment. There's a Persian language and culture studies program at the university. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people that come from the Middle East and Africa every single year to travel to Hawaii that could be discouraged by this travel ban.
Is there any real coincidence that, as you know, one of the leads on the challenge to the executive order, that you chose Neil Katyal? I mean, he seems to have a long history with Hawaii back in the days of being able to be working on behalf of those detainees in Guantanamo. Also, the fact that he has been very critical of what happened in the 1940s with Japanese internment.
Right. When Neil Katyal was the acting solicitor general under the Obama administration, he had actually issued an apology or just a kind of a take back of some of the decisions that were previously made by the Department of Justice against Japanese American citizens, and that really meant a lot. And so certainly when we were trying to look for people to help us in areas that are really outside of our expertise, he was a natural selection.
At this point, when we're sort of waiting to see what's going to happen next week, other states have also joined the challenge, looking to see what, in fact, if it's, certainly the Trump administration thinks that this is going to survive whatever challenge, or that it's perfectly
sure.
legal. But how does this continue a conversation and a narrative that we aren't really looking at what's best for the country for everyone? We're only looking at it through a very narrow lens.
Right. I got to say, the first priority is to make sure that we, my job is to legally object. If I see a problem in the Constitution or a problem with the laws, and especially when they butt up against the state, I have to object. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I think even beyond that, if this is where you're going, I really think this is an opportunity for different groups that have been disenfranchised to speak up. One of the things that really hit me from attending the 75th anniversary activities that had commemorated what happened with the Japanese internments that were occurring a couple weeks ago, well, it was just the constant chorus of the fact that what really hurt the people who were interned was the silence. And to me, what I see that just matters more is that we have to speak up against what we see as something that is it's damaging our society. It's a very divisive type of narrative that is not appropriate and not something we want.
So even if the challenge doesn't survive, the fact that it could be also construed as a call to action
right.
would also be something that would please you?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm cautiously optimistic that we're going to get a good result. But at the same time, I think it's important for us to be able to speak up and let the president, let the Congress know that that people are watching what they do.
Douglas Chin will also be watching. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thank you.
Douglas Chin is Attorney General for the state of Hawaii. Hawaii was the first state to file suit over the revised executive order on immigration. Several other states have also filed to join that lawsuit, including New York, Washington, Oregon, and Minnesota.